Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. This is The Bigger Picture on Money FM 89.3. I'm Sean Cheong. Gold has been making new highs recently, and stock markets too, which is a bit unusual that they have both hit highs at the same time. So this morning, we have on the phone with us, Carl Roeder, the Senior Financial Market Analyst at Capital.com, to discuss this. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, Kyle. So gold has been making new highs recently, as stock markets are making new highs. Normally, they are negatively related. Generally, gold does better when markets are pessimistic. But right now, the markets do not seem very pessimistic, yet gold is higher. So what has changed?
Well, I mean, you typically see this relationship with gold and equities moving in a positive correlation when they're both being driven effectively by monetary policy expectations. I mean, you could draw a parallel, perhaps with a more extreme set of circumstances at the end of the 2010s, and certainly at the depths of the pandemic when, you know, real rates were very, very low, effectively as monetary policy was kept at a level to try and stimulate economic activity. As a result, you know, you saw flow moving into both gold as well as stocks because, you know, they offered a far better a return, at least on a real basis, when you looked at sort of negative real yields. We don't have that set of circumstances at the moment, but what we are seeing, of course, is that market participants are pricing in the increased likelihood of interest rate cuts from the Fed this year. Last week, when we saw the Fed continue to signal that it expects three rate cuts this year, it's projecting three rate cuts this year, despite perhaps inflation being a little bit more stubborn and higher than previously thought, set off a rally both in equities and gold, largely, again, for that reason that, you know, rate cuts are arriving and both is positive for equity and the price of gold. So that's the relationship at the moment. And really, if we're looking at the outlook now, the most important factor will be this, you know, inflation data that we get incoming. Of course, we get the PCE index on Friday. And if that continues to lend itself to interest rate cuts in the United States, that should be supportive of gold prices, just that it probably will be supportive of equities as well.
All right, and on the note of hitting highs simultaneously, it's the same with cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin. Bitcoin and gold making highs at the same time. Is this coincidence or is this also a curious move?
Somewhat of a curious move again, because in times where we've seen both hitting record highs or at least both trending higher, it's tended to be in situations where, again, policy is very, very loose, liquidity is incredibly ample, and risk sentiment as a result is very, very high. You have this kind of, you know, reflationary dynamic happening in the economy. At the moment, we don't necessarily have that. We do have those interest rate cuts that I think are obviously expectations for interest rate cuts that are supporting, well, everything, but certainly both Bitcoin and gold prices. I think the big difference, though, is that, you know, perhaps, I mean, Bitcoin is always a bit of a sentiment barometer for markets. We're seeing, you know, fairly bullish sentiment that's sort of being exhibited in equities and certainly some riskier part of the equity market as well. But we are seeing some supply and demand dynamics, I think, influencing the Bitcoin price as well, which separates the story a little bit from gold. In particular, ETF flows and ETF data has been a very influential marginal driver of prices over the last few months. The sell-off last week was reportedly due to the fact that ETFs saw a lot of outflows after, you know, months and months of inflows, especially buying into the news of the launch of some of these ETFs. And the other thing we've got coming up soon next month is the halving, which in principle should have an impact on supply and demand dynamics, and it's traditionally led to a little bit of a lift up in Bitcoin prices as well. So there is an overlap between what's driving gold and Bitcoin to these highs, but there's also a very nuanced and niche Bitcoin story that's happening too, which is, you know, obviously keeping prices very close to record highs, albeit slightly below the sort of $74,000-$75,000 level that we reached a couple of weeks ago.
If you just joined us, we are speaking with Carl Roeder, the Senior Financial Market Analyst at Capital.com. So Carl, let's look at markets as a whole. The three major indexes in the US have been above their 50-day moving average for 19 weeks or so, which is an unusually long time. So do you see this momentum turning at some point, or at least the velocity of it?
Yeah, I think we're already starting to see a tempering of that momentum. And I think the fact that we haven't seen the NASDAQ in particular, I point to the NASDAQ because it's been the best barometer perhaps for its tech strengths. And, you know, it has been that kind of tech strength that has driven Wall Street higher more broadly. We're starting to see some signs that, you know, sellers are emerging at around that 18,400 level on the NASDAQ 100, and perhaps a little bit of an exhaustion there and a lack of, you know, fresh catalyst to push it higher. The question becomes, I mean, are we prone or poised for something of a pullback? from a risk-reward perspective, if you are looking to take on long positions in equities, we are looking at fairly rich valuations and fairly overbought technicals or technicals that look a little bit exhausted. However, I still think that it remains a question about, you know, the monetary policy backdrop in the United States. And if there's a fresh catalyst that will arrive, we really need to see that kind of disinflation continuing to come through the US economy. Again, we'll get that check on Friday with the PCE data. And if we get markets pricing back in the level of cuts or somewhere near the level of cuts that we had at the start of the year, that's going to be supportive for interest rate sensitive areas of the market that rely on those sort of high multiples and interest rate cuts driving higher multiples like tech stocks, potentially move it to the upside again. But in saying that, we are definitely seeing a cooling in market sentiment, definitely seeing a slowing in momentum. And, you know, the downside risk is that we do get these sort of persistent inflationary pressures and maybe a bit of a period of a lack of momentum to see a broader pullback, which suggests that, again, the risk and reward up here is maybe a little bit unfavorable for the longer-term players, but it will just all entirely rest on that inflation data and the rate market's response. So I would imagine from here we're going to move from data point to data point to see where the directional bias is for the markets from here.
Okay, so energy, materials, communication services, utilities, these are the four best-performing sectors month-to-date. It's fueled a lot of conversation regarding the broadening of this rally. Do you see these sectors as an exception or the norm moving forward in the coming quarters?
Well, it would be normal for a market that is sustaining a healthy bull trend. I mean, typically what you'll see in a healthy bull market is obviously first and foremost from a technical standpoint, a period of, you know, sort of consolidations and then breakouts to the upside, obviously, you know, with a marked pattern of higher highs and higher lows. The other thing that you often see too is wider breadth coming through the market, again, suggesting that the kind of strength that you're seeing is broader, more fundamental, you know, and obviously that's driven by, you know, potential earnings expectations going forward too. And a healthy level of rotation typically happens in very bullish markets as well and healthy bull markets too. So you would probably be more inclined to sort of infer a description or infer from this kind of dynamic description of what's happening rather than perhaps something that is predictive of the future. But the fact that you are seeing, again, a level of rotation coming through, a broadening of this sort of strength in the market, suggests that, you know, but there are clearly knocks on areas of the market, like valuation, perhaps slowing momentum, you know, risks from the rate outlook, that at least the internals of the market are starting to look increasingly healthy. And maybe that's something that investors can draw confidence from.
There are many cross currents, plenty of which, you know, they're making lots of potential volatility in the market. With a lot of changes in the S&P in terms of where it may end up in the end of the year. Some are saying 4,004, some are saying 6,000 as the S&P is coming in at 5,002. So with all these cross currents, where do you see gold's position for the rest of the year?
Well, I mean, really, I think absolutely from a strategic perspective, effectively, I think it's a matter of continuing to buy into that trend for as long as you have the tailwinds behind it that have driven it this far, which is effectively some of the optimism around artificial intelligence and the momentum we're seeing in tech stocks, the expectations of a soft landing in the US economy and global economy, as well as an ongoing process of disinflation and progressive interest rate cuts to bring, you know, rates back down to a far less restrictive level. So as far as, you know, what can potentially drive the market higher from here or fuel this ongoing sort of rally in equities, as long as those things are moving in the direction that they are, I think that's very supportive of upside in stocks. When those stories start to change, that's when you become a little bit more skeptical. So far, that's not the case. But of course, you know, you keep on as a trader, you know, you keep your eye on the data to be able to sort of adjust accordingly for when the story potentially changes.
All right. Thank you very much, Carl, for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
He's Carl Roder, the Senior Financial Market Analyst at Capital.com. And this is Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.